And welcome. This is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. I am Jim Burke, and I am the host of a new show called County Connections. And I'm here today with Kate Dean.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Thanks for being here. I'm so excited that you're my co-host today, because I guess we're going to talk about the fairgrounds and things that have been going on over there. And who do we have with us as our guest?
Yeah. So first of all, let me just say really, really glad that KPTZ is willing to host a new show. We're excited to get more information about county happenings out in the world. So thanks for providing a voice for that. And, you know, probably a lot of people have been hearing what's been going on at the fairgrounds recently. And I'm very glad to have as a guest here today, Linda Noble. Linda was a board member on the Fair Association board, and that she just recently helped me to shepherd through a process to get a new board seated just the night before last. So Linda's been a great partner. She's a new board member, as am I, a member of the new board, as am I. and so welcome to Linda.
Hi, thank Linda. You. Great to be here.
So glad you're here, Linda. So who wants to start with the background on this? How did they, I guess the best way to say it is, why did the fairgrounds or the Fairground Association need a whole new board and a whole new committee to make the fair happen this year or any year? What is the background on that? Why were things going awry?
Maybe I could start with a little kind of history of the fairgrounds and the county's involvement, and then I'll hand it off to Linda for the kind of more recent board developments. So the county owns the county fairgrounds, like many counties do across the state, and I love that we were just listening to a show about sardine fishing, and now we're talking about the county fair. You know, we're That's keeping right. it real in Jefferson County. These are still very much a part of our existence here.
We are local.
Yeah. So in 1990, the county, as many counties did across the state, said, hey, you know, we're really not best suited to be running a county fair. There are a lot of folks who, you know, had volunteered for literally generations, families that had been coming to the fair for generations who were really running the fair. And so the county said, we're just going to give this to the Fair Association, which was originally incorporated in 1950, and let that as a nonprofit really run and manage the fair and the fairgrounds. And that has been a successful relationship for a long time. Those volunteers, like I said, many families have been doing this for generations, have kept that going. We have seen, again, across the state, the county fairs have dwindled in size and in scope, and also lost some of their volunteer base. And so I think as town gets built up more and more, people started to look at the fairgrounds and say, hey, it would be great if that publicly owned facility was available for more people, for more activities, for more of the year. Mm-hmm. And so more people took interest in the fairgrounds, which is a great thing, but it's hard when there's a structure in place and has been there for a long time doing the work to kind of try to incorporate all of the new voices. So the county started to hear some consternation and more folks wanting to be involved. Some neighbors, Linda's also a neighbor of the fairgrounds, mm-hmm. some neighbors saying, hey, we're interested in what's going on here. But the board as it existed was really doing a great job of running the county fair, but wasn't really equipped to be running a multi-use, multi-purpose facility with the expectations that a public facility has on it. So that's when a number of us got together and said, hey, we are struggling here. We need to find another system.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I lived near the fairgrounds for about a year, and sometimes I could hear noise over there from the vehicles riding around in the mud and stuff like that, dirt bikes or other cars. I don't know. There were races, I guess. And oddly enough, the motors weren't the loudest thing. It was often the public address systems were the loudest thing. But it seemed to be a year-round thing, or, you know, we used it as our dog walk area as well. And there are so many other reasons that a piece of land like that could be used year-round. And that was appreciated. I think it's always been appreciated by the people of Port Townsend and the people of Jefferson County in general. So, Linda, how did this process unfold? Do you know the history of the current situation about how this changed in the last couple of months?
Yes, I do. I know it quite well. So bringing back a little bit my involvement, I don't come from a background of fair. Like Kate mentioned, I am a neighbor to the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. And my involvement really started in 2020 when the homeless encampment was situated on the fairgrounds.
Right.
And I became involved as a neighbor with concerns, as did many other people have concerns about what was happening. And the thing that really struck me at that time was that there was a great deal of acrimony between various groups, between neighbors and the fair board. And I kept being in this situation where I was seeing that there was so much in common. There were so many common concerns and common goals that I couldn't really understand why there was so much fighting. And decided after some time of involvement as a neighbor that I should start going to fair board meetings and try to understand a little bit more about the history of the way the fair association had run.
Oh, shoot. I don't know why. I'm sorry. I just muted you. I don't know why.
It's okay.
Go ahead.
I don't think I said anything bad,
no,
right?
No, you didn't. It was
no bad words.
It was just a technical thing in my end.
That's okay.
My apologies.
So I started going to board meetings and became involved. And as Kate mentioned, I joined the board pretty recently, but I had been involved prior to that in helping develop some new bylaws. Mm-hmm. For the board. And everything really came to a head, at the beginning of this year. And I saw that there was a lot of built, ongoing frustration from community members wanting to be more involved, wanting to see more, community access to the fairgrounds. But the way it was evolving felt to me like it was going to be an either or situation. And it was turning into a sort of what I see as a zero sum situation. Mm. And once again, I thought, I see a way forward that doesn't mean that we need to dispense with this 70 year history, all the amazing institutional knowledge of running the fair, how the involvement of the 4-H, tremendous amount of volunteer effort on the part of some current board members, who's some of them, fifth generation fair. Wow. And so I just started looking for ways that we might come together in a kind of a compromise situation that would, hopefully make people, nobody would be a winner or loser. And clearly what's happened is that, I don't think anybody got everything they wanted. Mm-hmm. Necessarily. There's been a lot of compromise, but I sincerely believe that this is going to be better for the ongoing fair that needs support from a larger community base and for the community going forward. So I'm really excited at the what we managed to pull together, and I think it's going to be a little rocky, just getting through some of these transition periods. Right. But I am a firm believer that we're on the right path, and I really thank Kate for being so accessible and listening to me, listening to my concerns, coming from having been involved with the fair board for some period of time, and being able to work together to try to come up with a reasonable solution.
It sounds great. I appreciate that. Not everybody, it's just like life. Not everybody gets everything they want, but at least if everybody gets a share of something, a stake, you're on the stakeholder committee. I think that's great. And Kate, I saw in the news, so Derek Ferenczi just started doing KPT News just yesterday, and he quoted you as saying that that the Fair Board has created the grand compromise. Is that a fair assessment of what you said?
Yeah, I think I did refer to it as the grand compromise, and I'd say it was more than the Fair Board. It was really the whole community of people who are interested in and love the fairgrounds participated in that grand compromise. And I told Linda recently when we were scratching our head at some point in this process that in the world of county business, that sometimes the outcome, making everybody unhappy means success. And I don't think we achieved that. I don't think everybody's unhappy. I think everybody can live with the compromise that we agreed to. And in my world, that's a success. So I'll take the win.
So maybe a few grumbles, but everyone's basically satisfied with the path going forward.
Exactly. And that was very much by design. So we tried to create a board structure that provides a voice for a number of the different constituencies and stakeholders who are involved in the fairgrounds, but doesn't give anybody enough kind of votes or sway to be able to influence decisions unduly. So if you don't mind, Jim, I'd love to just kind of talk through the positions we created there, how we balanced out those interests.
Please, that's why you're here. Thank
Great,
you.
Great, yeah. So like I said, the county really saw a need to get more involved in this process as the owner of the property and as the kind of public entity that has a responsibility for stewardship of this site. So the county had not participated in the board in the past, even though all three county commissioners had an ex officio seat on the previous board. In my time here, 7 years on the board now, that had not taken place. So,
wow.
We have a county appointed position that will be me in the foreseeable future, and also a city appointed position. Fairgrounds are, of course, in the city limits. The city is very interested in land use there, city residents who are use the fairgrounds the most. So it makes sense to have city and county. So we have a couple of government, you know, a little bit of transparency, oversight, accountability, which I think is a good thing, having those folks on the board. Then we have the former Fair Board, which is now called the Fair Committee. It's an official committee of the Fair, we're hoping to call the Fair Grounds Association now, moving from the Fair Association to the Fair Grounds Association. So the Fair Board or Fair Committee has appointed three members. So three people who are involved in putting on the county fair, they have a seat at the table. There will be a membership, so anybody will be able to become a member of this organization. And they will elect three members that are called at-large members. So that could be anybody. It will be an election. So presumably it'll be people who are involved in the fairgrounds, have some sort of stake there. And then those eight, that board of eight, then appoints or elects three stakeholder positions. So those are people who are, one is required to be a neighbor, at least one, could be more than one. And then also people who have leases at the fairgrounds are eligible for those positions. So that creates a total of 11 positions, and balanced between the interests of kind of lessees and neighbors, the fair, local government, and then some at-large positions. And I think that's a good structure to not give anybody too much voice, but be sure that anybody can have a voice there.
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, when you say, when you're changing it from the fair committee to the fair grounds, it's obviously the property there is the thing that needs to be managed overall. I see names on here, Ben Thomas with the city, Christy Pimentel, Taylor Howerton, and Emma Hopkins from the fair committee, three stakeholder members, Linda Noble, Aaron Stark, and Amber Jones, and three at-large members, Toby McInerney, Stephanie Moran, and Ben Mulkey. So this committee or the Fair Grounds, is it the Fair Grounds Association now? Is that right?
Well, we have to check with the state and see if that's available as a doing business as, but okay. Looking into that. And I right. should say in everything we speak to here, you know, this is a brand new board and we can't really speak for the whole board. Okay. You know, we're at this very nascent stage.
It's got training wheels on it right now. Answered
your short question, yes, exactly.
So, I am curious because I know that last year and during the pandemic, the homeless encampment there was a hotbed issue. I mean, I heard so much about that. People arguing back and forth on that about on Facebook and Nextdoor constantly. Obviously, the most pressing issue there was sanitation and sanity. That neighbors to the fairgrounds there were dealing with noise and other, you know, people in this encampment who had mental health issues, et cetera, drug issues, et cetera. Plus, it was basically like a campground that wasn't really being managed like a campground. People weren't paying to be there. There wasn't any routine or ongoing maintenance. And so, was it the city or the county that actually had to step in and move everybody out? Was it the county?
It was the county in partnership with the Fair Association was very helpful mm-hmm. In that throughout that process, and it was very difficult for them. It was expensive. It created real problems with their relationship with the neighbors. Yeah. I mean, they tolerated a lot, and I will just do a shout out for Ole Kapp, who's managing that encampment and right. now is managing the Keswell Brown encampment. So the county bought property to move those folks specifically off of the fairgrounds property. It was a perfect storm out there, yeah. and everybody had to absorb some negative impacts of that, and right. It was very painful for everyone involved. And I think that is largely resolved now, but I agree with Linda that probably did lead to the kind of upwelling of concern and interest in the fairgrounds and some of the changes that came about.
Well, there sure was a lot of acrimony online about it. And it was horrible to see because, you know, when people say things online, they sound heartless and cruel, and it's horrible to see. I'm glad there was some kind of an interim solution and that, you know, the people who were there were taken in, you know, were brought into care in a sense, by the county and by the city and by Ole Kapp. I really appreciate that. It's an ongoing issue. Obviously, the COVID epidemic, pandemic has caused so many problems top to bottom in our society, in our neighborhood, that we're just all sort of struggling to get out of right now. The Community Connections Fair the Connections Fair on Sunday is like an example of how all these nonprofits are getting together on Sunday and people can go and they can reconnect with their neighbors and they can also maybe volunteer for something or take a class at Centrum or something like that or at Northwind Art. I'm just plugging a few things. But I think that's what's been happening in the last year or so. People are starting to crawl out of this isolation from each other, this adversarial stance that we've all been in. Either adversarial or apathetic. I don't know. What do you think? Either of you could say, chime in right now. I don't know.
Well, I will say that the volunteerism has really dropped off and has not returned post-COVID. And so I do want to put in a plug that there's going to be a lot of need for volunteers out at the fairgrounds. Yeah. And so would encourage folks to plug in. But I'd love to hear what Linda has to say, too.
Yes, Linda, please.
So I just, because I know one of the things that's going to come up, and it already came up at our, you know, transitional board meeting is how do I become a member, you know, and I'm just going to make a plea for a little bit of patience because we are in the process of trying to develop a really thoughtful membership policy that will be inclusive and also trackable. So it's going to take a minute before we have that hammered out. But promise that it will go live as soon as possible, and people will be encouraged to join as members. And of course, we will be happy to have volunteers. The other thing I just wanted to make a tiny correction, which is that the Fair Committee elected its three representatives. It wasn't an appointment, and okay. I helped facilitate that election process. So just wanted to clarify that. And we kind of came in a little, we're coming in a little late. So I don't know if we can pull any strings to get into the connectivity fair, but you know, one of our board members is already on that.
If
maybe we can bring our own table or something
up. I think Judy Alexander wants anybody who can to just get there, and they could probably just bring a table and a few pamphlets, and they'd probably be welcome there. So you see, just check it out Sunday morning. My mind just went blank there. Yep, I appreciate what you just said. Hi. Not Heidi, that's next week. Kate, what do you have? We have about four minutes left.
Okay, great. I think one question that a lot of people have is, what is the future of the fairgrounds? And, you know, with this new board coming in, it's a ripe time to talk about that. And of course, we don't know, brand new board. But one of the requirements of this new board that the county will be insisting upon mm-hmm. is that the new board undergo a strategic or long range planning process.
Wow.
Where they engage stakeholders and neighbors and many people in the community to talk about what should the future of the fairgrounds be. And as we've seen with the golf course, for example, that's not an easy process. You know, it means that the fairgrounds means a great deal to a great number of people and for a number of very different reasons. But it is, I think, imperative that we start figuring out what is the best use of that. How, for example, are we going to pay for improvements that need to be made there? There's a lot of deferred maintenance. What kind of partners can we be bringing in? There's some exciting developments, the pump track, bicycle pump track that's been talked about quite a bit. They're hoping mm-hmm. to be out there. So the county's planning to commit more resources to the fairgrounds too. That's part of this grand compromise, is the mm-hmm. county will be supporting the fairgrounds in a much bigger way than they have in the past financially. But we're going to need the community to help us decide what's the best use for that facility. And one of the commitments that I think something that a number of people care about is keeping it really accessible and affordable. We know there's a lot of new public facilities being talked about, that, you know, the Aquatic Center, that's wonderful. I'm fully supportive of it, but we know that's going to be tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And that's probably not going to be what the fairgrounds is like, but how can it maintain its charm and its, you know, real kind of sense of this is a place for the locals and we want to maintain that, but also make the investments we need to make.
Well, and then I guess the question that went right out of my head was, is there a fair this year and when will it be?
Yes, there is a fair. Planning has been underway for quite a while now, and the fair committee is working hard on making sure that happens. And I heard that finally the DOT backed off a little bit on its bridge closures for that weekend,
which is
just huge. So it's the 11th, 12th, and 13th of August. We're very excited about that the bridge will be open and look forward to getting more information up on the website about, you know, once we have a calendar of events that will be happening, specifically the schedule of the fair, that will be, but yes, it will be happening.
That is fantastic. The bridge, you mentioned the bridge. I wanted to mention that on this show, of course, because Greg Brotherton was talking, quoted in the paper the other day, as saying that it's wonderful when people can actually come together and make a process happen. You know, something happened. The Olympic Peninsula pushed back on the state, and the state went, maybe we should change our strategy. And now it's changed. So the repairs are going to be happening in May and June and September, not in July and August, when we've got the fair, we've got the thing, we've got all sorts of other things going on during the summer. In fact, today, because it's Friday, I was driving downtown and I was like, wow, there's a lot of people here. So I think people are really anxious to get back to PT and to the Olympic Peninsula and enjoy all the things it has to offer. Anything else from either one of you? We've got about a minute and a half. Oh, no, about a half a minute. Ooh.
I do want to say just a huge thank you to the folks who have kept the fair going and the fairgrounds operating for all these years. And, you know, there's a little bit of painful transition of saying goodbye. And, you know, they are being extremely gracious in helping shepherd in some new folks to help steward that place. But just can't say enough thank you to people who have worked tirelessly for so long.
Fantastic. One last word, Linda?
Nope. Just appeal to everybody to, you know, be patient, work together, think of the future. I think there's so much that we can do with this going forward.
It's very encouraging. Thank you, Kate, for being my co-host today on County Connections. And thank you, Linda Noble, for being our guest today. I'm very excited about the forward progress of this fair and the fairgrounds. I have to go because my Zoom call is about to end.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.